And gentlemen, welcome into your Nevins Island content for the night, the Nevins Island podcast. I'm your host, Nick Evans, and as always, I'm joined with the second tallest man I know, Jake Frasinelli. Jake, how you doing?
Doing well. Kind of hungry, so I'll be snacking on some chips throughout the podcast, but I'll mute myself before I crunch into them.
Good stuff.
But, it's been a pretty good week.
Yeah, it's not like we do a food show together where we have to go and eat stuff. The man with the lizard on his shoulder, the man of steel himself, Josh Steelman. Josh, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. This is Smaug, for those of you who don't know. She's quite docile, but she might bite me because she might be hungry.
And we have, for his first time on the Nevins Island podcast, but has been in plenty of Nevins Island content, making appearances on the Bracket Show, 12-hour streams, the Price is Right himself, Dalton Price. How's it going?
Good, bro. Can't complain, bro.
That's good stuff. And making his first appearance on any Nevins Island content, the man who wrote a rap for me, Scott Lucid. Scott, how's it going?
I'm doing great. Just happy to be here. I'm excited. Should be fun.
Yeah, should be a good time. Should be a good time. If you did not know...
It should.
If you didn't know, this is the Nevins Island Podcast, the weekly show where a bunch of friends gather around microphones and bring different topics to discuss for your amusement. If you like that, you can go and follow us over on Twitch. You can sub over on YouTube under the Nevins Island page. And if you're like, man, I love hearing these guys, but I don't like seeing their ugly faces, go over to Spotify, check us out on the Nevins Island podcast page. You can be running and gunning, not having to look at us and watch it or listen to it there. For sponsors, we really don't have any other than Anchor. Anchor, thank you so much for being our Spotify user. If you need to go and put something on Spotify, Anchor's the way to do it. Thank you very much there. I did not tell any of these guys that we are somewhat sponsored now. But
Do I get paid now?
Not yet, Josh. You will never get paid. The sponsor is not like coming in with Buco Bucks, but we do get some. We can't discuss the finance behind it. But yeah, we're doing another five-person podcast online, and it should be a good time. Scott, before we hop into it, I asked you to be on this thing. What was your first impression, being like, oh no, or hell yeah, or where was your head at?
I mean, I knew it was going to happen eventually. Yeah, you talked about it way too much, and you told me you had plans, so I figured it was a matter of time. I'm pretty excited. I think it should be really fun. You know, yeah. I've watched a few of your other podcasts. Seems like it's a good atmosphere, so just looking forward to it.
Yeah, good stuff. And then Dalton, you have been one of those people, before we started doing the posting for this week and discussing how we're going to go and promote this podcast in particular, I was like, do we just announce it as the most attractive man that Nevins Island has ever had? Do we go and bring it up as the fan favorite?
No need to do all that.
Exactly.
I'm flattered, but no need for all that.
Exactly. So we knew that you were a humble guy. We knew that you've always loved hanging out with us and being a part of it and helping out in any way that you possibly can. We are very, very thankful for all that you've done thus far. How are you feeling, though, when I finally hit you up a couple weeks ago? I'm like, hey, March 12th, and this was one of those rare occasions where we planned something and we actually did it on time with the right people and everything. March 12th, Nevins Island Podcast, are you in? What was your thought process? Where was your head at? Were you excited? Were you like, oh, I got to hang out with Nick some more? Where was your head at?
Nah, bro, I was hyped for this one because, we get to, come with our own topics, you know? So, you know, not only, it's fun to make up a topic, and it's also going to be fun to see what you guys come up with, too.
Exactly. So, going into it, yeah, we do a topic breakdown. The best way to go and experience the Nevins Island podcast is in full on the Friday after we go and shoot it live on twitch.tv/Nevins Island. That's going to go and include both topics brought by the guest. The other ways that you can experience is topic by topic leading up to the full thing throughout the week. It's going to be my topic, Jake's topic, Josh's topic, all the way leading up to the Friday where you get in full with those bonus topics. So as somebody that asked me, they're like, hey, how should I experience the Nevins Island podcast? Best way to do it is experience in full when it comes on Spotify and YouTube, full with all the goodness. This is going to be a weird thumbnail to make because whenever we have guests on, I would just pull a picture up of the guests when they are like, yeah, I feel good in this picture. I'm looking good, whatever. But now I have to get a picture with Scott and Dalton. So I might just get the stepbrothers photo of Will Ferrell and the other guy. I forget his name right now. And just Photoshop Scott and Dalton's face on there and just be like, these two are our guests this week. But yeah, we're super excited.
Which one's going to be? Which one's Will Ferrell? Which one's
Dalton will definitely be Will Ferrell. That's a guarantee. Dalton okay. is the person that's that fair. Put his nuts that's on the drum set. That's just how it has to go. This whole thing was, it's a matter of time until we get these two people on the podcast. You guys, I would say, have been integral into the whole process of making Nevin's Island. Dalton was somebody that I leaned on ever since last, like, October-ish, November-ish, where I was like, hey, you're going to be part of this 12-hour stream. I want you on for a bracket episode, so on and so forth. And Scott, being such a good friend, has listened to me for hours on end just be like, hey, I was thinking about this and that and this. And you're like, hey, shut up. I don't care at all. And I'm like, but you – not actually. Hey, tell your roommate I said hi. What's your roommate's name? Scott.
This is Victor.
Dude.
Hi, Victor.
Yeah, they're saying hi to you.
There we go, Victor. But yeah, it was a matter of time before we got you guys on. So I say we just hop into it. Topic number one, Jake Frazinelli, what's your topic?
All right. So let me set the scene, right? You're back home, or it's like summer after senior year, whatever time. You're in the car, and your buddy's like, all right, hey, cue up a song. What song are you queuing up for maximum fun, or just like you want to just sing it with your boys, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's your carpool karaoke song?
What's your carpool karaoke song? All right, I say Josh Dillman, you want to kick this one off?
I am my own grandpa. That is my go-to song. It is so funny and I know every word to it.
Wait, give us a little taste of it.
So it starts, so it's basically the song's about this dude that marries this lady, and the lady has a daughter. And then the daughter marries the original dude's dad. So throughout the song, they have like children and stuff, and he becomes his own grandfather.
That is really, that's really Alabama-esque is all I'm going to say. If you're making that, triangle, then that's just how it's going to go. Has anybody ever, so you've been in the car, you're going, you're bumping this. Has anybody ever been like, I love this song before? Or is that just a Josh Dillman special?
It's a Josh Dillman special for sure. Nobody I've played it for, they maybe been like, oh yeah, I've heard this song before, but nobody's been able to sing it all the way through with me. Abby hates the song, but
yeah,
I don't
that's
care.
Good stuff. That's good stuff. All right, Dalton Price, what's your go-to banger? You're in the car, just banging out.
Okay, well, I mean, I don't know. Honestly, I don't really know if I have like a go-to song like that. Like, if I were to play a song where I'm with my friends and we all just want to sing along, then, you know, maybe throw on like No Flock by Kodak. Everybody knows all the words to that song.
Yeah.
Or, like most of the people that I hang out with know all the words to that song. And then, but if I want like a, you know, like it's summertime, you know, chilling, like riding around, just, you don't need to sing along, but like, you know, it's vibey. Then maybe like, either like, maybe like some old Uzi or like maybe like some mid to old Tame Impala. Just like probably like that, I really like the Borderline album. So like maybe something on
that. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to go next on this one. For me, my like song choice that I would play to annoy the crap out of people, Scott Lucid's been part of this one before, Boogie by Brockhampton. Just that bass line and that trumpet like flare coming in hot is so good. I love that song more than anything. And if you're with the right people, if I'm with somebody like Terps, who's in our chat quite often, and him and I, and he's like in the front seat with me, I don't care who's in the back seat. I'm playing that. Him and I are rapping the entire thing. We're having a good time. And obviously, Matt Lucid's in the chat right now, and he's like, my ears are still ringing from Boogie by Brockhampton, because that's a song that I am cranking all the way up. But if I'm being smart, if I'm on aux and I want to actually be a good DJ for once instead of just being an asshole, because I am an asshole, I'm going, and I've said this is the peak karaoke carpool song, especially now with TikTok. Give me Estelle's American Boy, the one-hit wonder American Boy, because everybody right now, obviously with the TikTok trend of like the Victory Royale song that Chug Jug With You, whatever it's called, knows just the beat to that song. But before that even happened, that has been a go-to of mine now for I don't know how long. Our good friend Jared, who way back when I've discussed Nevin's Island stuff with, he was the one that like really like ingrained that song in my head as a good karaoke song, because that bass, it just consistently is unreal. I'm all about it. But there's also the fact of like, I know every word of the song. I know a lot of people know every word to the song. Kanye's verse is iconic, and at the end of the day, the chorus is so catchy. By the time you get to the end of it, and this is the case for any carpool song, by the time you get to the end of the song, every single person in the car should know the chorus. It should be dumb enough, it should be stupid enough where you can know the chorus. So at the end of the day, I'm going with American Boy by Estelle and Kanye, but my personal pick is, depending on who's in the car and depending on how well I know them, I'm going with Boogie by Rockhampton. And Scott Lucid, what's your carpool karaoke song?
Dude, I'm honestly just still trying to figure out how he was his own grandpa.
You're just going to have to ride in the car with me and listen to it.
Send him the song, dude.
It's a good point.
Listen to it in the car with me. It is impossible to hear it the same way,
Scott,
anywhere else.
Scott, you want to come down to OSU in a couple weeks with Josh and I and just go and listen to that song? More than welcome to. More open invite.
Do it.
I don't think I'm that far from OSU. I mean,
but then you'd have to go to Ohio.
2 hours. I mean, I try to avoid Ohio when I can, but I guess if it's a necessity to figure out how he's his own grandpa. Honestly, I would say I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys would be my pick.
Banger.
I think it's it toes the line between super iconic and super embarrassing. But yeah. I feel like that creates a really good atmosphere in a car. Everyone knows the words. People don't want to tell you they know the words, but they know the words. I feel like Brooklyn Nine-Nine made it relevant again with their cold opening. And I think that people might be a little bit upset when they first hear it, but by the end, they'll be on board.
For me, there's another one that I thought you might mention. If it didn't get mentioned by the end of this, it would be an issue. It's a vibe. You do have to hit a certain vibe. But if you're with the right people, Hey There Delilah by the Plain White Tees.
That was my number two.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That song is so consistently, everyone knows at least the first verse, chorus, and then the second verse. And if you hit with the right people and you get all five people in the car, all seven people, you are singing that, the windows are down, and everyone's trying to hit the right notes, but no one's actually trying to hit the right notes.
Exactly. It's in the range, it's in the vocal range where you could potentially hit it, but you can't really. So it's in yelling range. And I think that that's right where you want a song to be if you're going to yell in the car to it.
Absolutely. That song is absolutely there. Jake Frasnelli, it's your question. What are you thinking?
Honestly, you guys segued perfectly into my choice. So I think there's two or three ways you could kind of go with a carpool karaoke song. You could pick a Pursuit of Happiness by Kid Cudi. You know, a nice little heavy bass line, can talk the words. Or you could play Unwritten or something off of Taylor Swift's Red, where it's just everyone knows, especially if you're in a car full of, if it's just you and your bros, bumping Unwritten or just Mean. I know that's not on Red, but Mean or
I Knew You Were Trouble.
I Knew You Were Trouble. Just screaming that with the boys, windows down at a stoplight, getting weird looks from passersbys. That's a really good one. I'd also say I remember this is a different memory than I thought I was gonna bring up, but I did cross country in high school. So on Fridays after summer practices, all the guys would go out and get breakfast. And it's seven or eight of us riding in a Jeep Wrangler. And it's a normal size Jeep Wrangler. There's no top on it. So we're kind of,
is it four doors or two doors?
It is a four door. No, it is a two door Jeep Wrangler. And there's eight of us in there.
Okay. I have a blue, the car I drove throughout high school was a Jeep Wrangler. Scott's been in it many times. It's a two door. That thing is cramped. So I'm just getting the imagery right here.
Bro, had a four door blue Jeep Wrangler.
Nice. Good stuff. Oh, so, on, Jake.
Yeah, so there's he took the roof off, and it was only a mile and a half. So it was four people were sitting down, two guys were kind of crouched in the back, and then two guys were just kind of hanging on to the side. We were invincible, we were in high school. And we were just bumping. Oh my goodness, what was it? Hold on. It's coming back to me. We didn't start the fire.
Nice. Good tune.
And that's, it was just everyone in the group knew most of it. So we're just going down and we pull up to a stoplight and there's this would have been on a Sunday because everyone was leaving church. Right as you just see 8 shirtless high school guys screaming, "We didn't start the fire," hanging off a Jeep Wrangler parked in the middle of downtown, just trying to get everyone to join in. And then this one dude on the street started singing, and then some other dude on the street started singing. I'm like, what? Are we about to do a musical number right now? Like, are we about to flash mob? Like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what the etiquette for that is. But that's just, that's a really, really fun, like, carpool karaoke kind of sing-along memory.
Yeah. Before we wrap this up, I want some yay or nays. And the best way, I think, to do it is just give me the thumbs up or the thumbs down, because we got a lot of us. For does high, like, res carpool karaoke songs, do you know most of the lyrics / the chorus? All right. Mr. Brightside, give me thumbs up or down. All right, all thumbs up. Mr. Blue Sky, Electric Light Orchestra, ELO. We have a thumb down from Jake. We have a half thumb.
Maybe. I don't know. I'd have to hear. I'm bad with song names. All right, I gotta hear the song.
I didn't know that you were saying names.
Yeah. I'm gonna just lift off the list off the songs. Seven Nation Army, by the White Stripes.
That's a huge yes.
Yeah. Mad City, Kendrick Lamar. Yeah. Okay, yeah. All right. Come On, Eileen, Dexy Midnight Runners. Okay, half and half for some, and then yeses from Jake and Josh. Take Me Out, Franz Ferdinand. I say you don't know. Okay, a lot of thumbs down. We got a thumbs up from Scott. He hangs out.
Dude, those Instagram live sessions are paying off.
Yeah, right.
Your voice is beautiful.
Oh, it's gorgeous. All the Lights, Kanye West. Josh Steelman, we gotta.
I'm not a big Kanye guy. I'm sorry.
We gotta get tunes in you. Last couple, I Will Wait by Mumford & Sons. Oh, okay, we got all thumbs up except for Dalton. Ride by 21 Pilots. I'm just running through the end of this.
Doesn't mean I want to sing it, but I know the lyrics.
Very, very regrettable thumbs up.
Last two, Saying Ain't So by Weezer. Dalton just nagging on all. He got the rap ones though, so we hit the.
You know me, dude. I'm like a rap fanatic, dude. That's all I listen to.
All right, Baba O'Reilly or Teenage Wasteland by The Who, closing it out. Okay, I'm just for my sake. This is for my sake and for everyone else's. That got some thumbs down there. Because there, you know, when you're in a car with like new people, like you're not really hung out with them before, and then you have to like play music. Nerve-wracking experience. I want to go with songs that I got a lot of thumbs up on. So we'll bring out Mr. Brightside. We'll bring out Seven Nation Army. We'll bring out Mad City. Those were the three that I got the most, thumbs up on that I feel confident in. All right, let's just hop into topic number two. Josh Steelman,
That's my name. It's my topic. So my topic is just like, what's your biggest fear? And like, you can go all deep if you want to and be like, I'm afraid of dying alone, which is pussy shit. Or you can just give like, oh, needles make me paranoid, which, spoiler alert, that is my fear.
Okay, Josh, you want to dive deeper into that?
So I don't know, it's not blood or stabbing. It just bothers me to think of something like under my skin. So if like you came up to me and were like, Josh, you have a parasite, I would probably tear my arm off to get the parasite out of my body. Like, it just bothers me so much to think of, like, something foreign, like, under my skin. So, that's just why needles, I just can't. They're just too skinny. Like, I'd rather get shots with, like, a knife. Just stab me in the stomach. Shank me with the drugs, and I'll be good.
Frazzy, what's your biggest fear or fears?
Needles make me uncomfortable, but I wouldn't say I'm, like, afraid of needles.
I'm not afraid. Yeah.
I think so. We in the apartment, we go through cycles of the show that if we're watching a show, we'll just throw it on. So it was The Office, and then it was Parks and Rec, and then it was New Girl, and we just finished How I Met Your Mother. And there's a scene in How I Met Your Mother, if y'all haven't seen it, and it's like they're going through this whole kind of like, it's like a weird story, but it's nothing crazy. It's just kind of like, It's like a normal night out of the bar with like a little bit more eventful thickness happening. And at the very end of the episode, it's like, Ted, all this happened 3 years ago. You're alone.
Yeah.
It's like Lillian Marshall are back home with the baby. Me and Robin are picking a wedding planner. You're just you've been sitting here staring at a single ticket of Robots versus Wrestlers for the last 10 or the last 3 hours, trying to figure out whether you know, whether you should go or not, because none of us else could come out. I'm like, that's my worst fear by far, because I'm not a really big social person. So if I have like good friends who can no longer hang out with me, I'm like, well, I don't know what I'm gonna do now. I guess I'll just like sit here and do nothing.
Yeah.
So I think that whenever I saw that for the first time, I was like, I didn't know that this is something I was afraid of, but now I know, you know?
Yeah, that absolutely. That's big time. Is there any stupid fears that you have? Or are you just like, eh, like the heights or lions or snakes? Or is
I used to be afraid of heights.
Or bears or lie.
Because I went to a summer camp and they had the blob, so you had to jump like 20 feet. And I was like, eh.
I have a good story with the blob after you finish.
I guess I have a fear of falling, because a fear of heights and a fear of falling are different. If I know I'm safe, like if I'm on a roller coaster, I'm fine. But if I'm on like standing on the edge of a cliff and I could slip or something, I get a little nervous.
Question.
I don't really.
What about bungee jumping?
I would totally do bungee jumping.
Okay, cool.
Good stuff. Getting to my blob story, I was at a camp one time and basically I lost like what are the odds basically to go and get blobbed. And if you don't know me, I weigh probably on a good day, like 130.
50 pounds.
Like, it's especially back then when I was like 17, pushing 130, soaking wet. Like, I am a light dude in general. So I go, and if you know how you get blobbed, you jump on a giant air sack, you climb out to the end, and then somebody of a higher weight jumps on it and flings you. So I am very small and also very uncoordinated. So all of a sudden, I go and step up to the plate. I hop on this air sack and then all of a sudden, like, climb out to the very edge. They tell you just wrap your arms like this and I'm good to go. All of a sudden, I see one of the heaviest guys at this camp. The dude is pushing 260, 270 maybe. The guy, and he's just built. He's not like a like flabby person. He's just a large, massive person. And then the eyes like wide open moment. Cause I'm like, okay, I can do this. If I just like tuck, I'll do a flip. Like, and I'll be fine. The eyes wide open moment was you can get blobbed or you can get double blobbed. And that means when two people go and jump on the blob at once. I go in the second largest person at this camp, pushing 260, maybe 250, goes, wraps his armor next to this other guy, and I realize in that moment I just made a mistake. I lost like what are the odds, so I had to do it. I couldn't chicken out. But these two large masses of people just go, send it, fall on their backs, and like I said, like I go and I'm like, is this safe? Before I get, and they're like, yeah, you're totally fine, and we do this all the time. Two people. I'm like, do you see how large these men are? So they go, they jump, they send it, and they're like, just tuck. When you get in the air, just tuck. I do exactly what I'm told. I tuck, and I do a flip, and I do another flip, and then I land straight on my back. I swear we broke the sound barrier in that moment, and it just, like, my back shattered, red for like a day and a half. It, like, the red wrapped around to the front of my stomach. It was that, like, just caress. Pink right here, deep, tender red on the back. It looked like I just was like lobster in the back, Patrick Starr on the sides, and like very white Nick Evans on the front. It was so aggressively bad. I came out of that water screaming bloody murder. I got blobbed hard, and everybody there was just like, we are so sorry we played what are the odds. We did not know that was going to happen. Surely enough, though, I was fine by like that in an hour or so and just put some ice on it, whatever. But I will never be blobbed again, especially by two large gentlemen. But Dalton, that's not my big fear. But Dalton, what is your biggest fear?
Not to cut you off, Dalton, I just want to say I'm adding to the list of things that I know about Nick, and that is he does not know what the sound barrier is. Or what that
is. I was gonna say that it's not even close.
It's not a sound. It's a speed, Nick.
Oh God.
Cap.
I had that same thought, bro. I was like,
it's the surface tension of water. It has nothing to do with sound at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like, just what you broke. Was yeah. Your back.
Yeah. You broke the surface of the water. Maybe.
Yeah.
Water barrier. If
I was
you
saying
will.
The sound of it. The sound of it was very loud, and it broke the sound.
Yeah.
Barrier,
I understood what you meant, but that's not at all what that means.
I didn't understand what he meant. I thought he was like, oh, I just flew really fast into the water. And I was like, cool.
All right, Dalton Price, what we got?
I mean, like, I don't really know for real. I mean, like, heights, of course, you know what I mean? But the same way that Jake said, like, I love roller coasters. So I guess it's just like a fear of falling, I guess. And then snakes. I can't stand snakes. Like, I don't care, like, how big it is. I mean, I don't mind worms, I guess, even though they're, like, the same, like, body type.
Yeah.
But, like, snakes, I don't know, man. Like those, I just, like, have memories of my older brother showing me videos of, like, anacondas, like, eating kids, like full on, like, just the legs sticking out, dude. Like, and it always just scared me. Even though I know, like, I'm probably not going to encounter one of those in, like, Alabama. But, like, I don't know, man. I feel like one day, take a little exotic trip, and, like, I don't know.
You're going to get swallowed.
You're gonna get, you know what I'm getting Dalton for his birthday?
High grass. I can't stand high grass. Because you don't know what's in it. Like, high grass.
Like, that's fair. That, bro.
Like, just a Pokemon just hops out, just attacks you. You're in a battle all of a sudden. What we got,
Jake? Yeah, I mean, because there's probably a snake in it.
Deep water. He when he said high grass, like, water that I can't see the bottom of gets me so anxious. Like, out in the ocean when you can't see the bottom, I don't like the idea of, like, there's, like, 2 miles of just, like, fluid below you. That makes me, like, I'm fine on a ship. But if I'm like deep sea fishing or something like that, and they're like, oh, you want to hop out and swim some? I'm like, absolutely not, absolutely not. There's
What's the limit of as the boat gets smaller? What's the point where you're like, okay, I'm not gonna be in this size of a boat over like you said, two miles of water? Is there a limit, or is it just like as long as you have something between you and the water, you're good?
If it's like a power, like I don't want to be out there on like a dinghy or on like a little slip with just wind power. But if it's got like if it has a motor on it, I'm probably chilling.
Gotcha.
And also, if it's not gonna get flipped by a wave.
Side note: I have never heard someone compare worms to snakes ever.
Really?
I found that amusing.
It's the same body type.
Especially when he referred to it as the same body type, I was like, "That's gold."
Yeah, dude, I mean, no arms, no legs, like, and they.
You got a point. You got a point. I've just never thought of it that way. Worms are just too slimy.
What about centipedes? How do you feel about them?
I don't, dude, okay, like, I swear, they have legs, so I don't care, or arms, or whatever they are. But, like, if you don't have legs or arms, like, I swear to God, like, if you don't
So how do you feel about arms, amputees?
hey. Yeah, like a nugget or something.
Bro, no, dude, I don't know what it is, but just the fact that they don't have legs or arms, and like, they're not stupid, like, they're snakes, you know, like, they're intelligent, like, they have, like, defense mechanisms. Like defense mechanisms.
Bro, they're gonna revolt. They're gonna get us.
When you said they're not stupid, I was like, is he still talking about amputees? Like, where are we going with this? Oh lordy,
no, dude. But yeah.
The moment Dalton comes on the show, we get demonetized.
that sponsor that I brought up, they're just like, hey, we listened to it.
Yeah, they
We're
just
out.
Called us.
We're out.
Twitch doesn't demonetize hot people.
That's true. That's true. Scott Lucid, what's your biggest fear?
Yeah, I'm going to be back off of Jake taking it from a TV show. I don't know if you guys have seen Black Mirror.
Nope.
I've crazy seen a show. Couple. Like, they Amazing obviously have. Episode. Yeah, same. Every episode. And they have just a bunch of dystopian future realities that are really scary because it seems like almost that we could be there if things progress the way that they keep progressing. And there's like two episodes that strike into this fear, but essentially these characters have their minds like uploaded into a computer, and then time for them can just be simulated however long people want. And so like one of them is a guy that's like in prison, but he doesn't know it. He's just like in this room, and they can essentially just simulate like 10,000 years without him aging or going anywhere or doing anything. And he has to just like spend that time in that room. And to me, that would just be absolute, like, that just terrifies me. The concept of like having just like this endless piece of time with nothing to do, I feel like I would just lose my mind like a year in, and then 10,000 times I can't even comprehend how awful that would be.
So if you got like arrested, you would do whatever it took to not be put in solitary.
Yeah,
solitary is like less bad. Like I definitely wouldn't like solitary, but it's more, at least like that's like a lifetime. Like,
yeah,
for me the fear is when it goes past the scale of like a human life, and now you're just like spending eternity. Like the concept of eternity to me, especially when it's like without anything or anyone, is really scary.
I remember I was like 15 with you, 15, 16, maybe 17, and you're telling me about this episode of Black Mirror, and I just like didn't sleep for like 3 weeks just because you told me about it. I'm like, screw that. That is terrifying. Yeah. Anything else?
It's like,
oh, sorry.
I was going to say, have any of y'all ever played the game Soma?
No.
Okay. So there's this, it's the premise of the game, basically, like spoiler.
Wait, I have a joke real quick before you explain. So my nuts are in your mouth.
Oh, okay, my God. So. That was not necessary at all.
If you're planning on playing Soma, spoiler alert, by the way, for like the next 2 minutes. Basically, the point of it is you're like a robot and you get... Are you holding up a finger for me?
Yeah, I am. And we have... Wait. Spoilers are up. Wait. Go ahead.
So, yeah. You're a robot and you can be... Like, you can have your mind transferred to your human who's been put into a robot. And because you're a human who's been put into a robot, you can have your, like, memory extracted and put into another robot through the use of these machines. But sometimes you, like, you lose the trade. Like, it's a coin flip. So, in the end of the game, your whole thing is like, oh, we're trying to upload our minds to this rocket to escape this planet that's going to explode or whatever. And... the end of the game is you lost the trade, so now you're just stuck on the planet until it decays and dies or whatever for the rest of the... So the point in that episode, it's like, oh, they take this like little thing out of your head and it's like a little memory chip and they put that in the thing. It's like, well, what if you lost the trade? Like, what if you were the one that got stuck in the thing, you know?
Yeah, that's some terrifying stuff. I'm very happy that we live in a world where, like, technology could get there, but probably not in our lifetime. So
that
we might...
sounds like, I don't know if you guys have watched it, but it's on Netflix. It's called Altered Carbon. If you guys have heard of that.
I've heard of it.
That sounds a lot
it's
like...
It's a lot like Altered Carbon.
Yeah. That's a sick concept, though. Like, just uploading your consciousness to, like, a different body or something. Oh. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to hop into my big spear and then we can get on to the next topic. Two fears.
To take spoilers off, by the way.
I already did. The first one's going to be, like, deeper, and then the second one is going to be, like, more fun. First and foremost, like, I've always surrounded myself with people ever since my, like, dad and, like, talked to me in later freshman year, after my, like, freshman year of high school. I had a really great conversation with him. Discussing of the importance of friends and stuff like that, and like surrounding yourself with people that you want to look up to, and you become who your friends are, stuff like that. Sean Evans, class act of a guy. But I took that to heart in a lot of ways. So in high school, and like as you can see, we have Scott and certain people that have been in the chat tonight, and certain people that have helped work with us, certain people that we've discussed on this podcast, whatever it might be. I have surrounded myself with, I think, a lot of really smart, intelligent, awesome people. So my biggest fear is like being the worst of us. Like I would say throughout college and high school, those guys are all going to do such awesome things. And obviously with my friends, like I always hope the best for them. I want us all to do great things, but I don't want to be like high school reunion, look back and just be like, oh, he's a failure now. Like whatever that might look like. So I would say like failing is my biggest fear. Second biggest fear, and might be a more real fear than the first one, due to one person, he has this amount of real estate in my mind, is knives. Jake, I think you were stabbing there. This kid, his name's Andrew McSheffrey, he's a friend of ours, Scott and I's, he used to take knives out and chase me around. And over time, it went from fun to scary to just traumatizing me to the point that I'm like, I cannot do this anymore. I am crapping my pants. And, like, now, like, if somebody has, like, a knife and we're, like, having dinner or something, I'm not, like, huh. But if somebody, like, picks up a knife and is, like, just, like, walking generally towards me to, like, go and sit down next to me for dinner, I, like, am looking at that knife until it's, like, put down or, like, they're eating or whatever. Like, it is that integral in my fear and in my mind of, like, being chased by a knife. If someone, like, put a gun up to my chest, I would feel 1,000 times more comfortable than if somebody just put a knife up to my chest.
Question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is this all knives or just like specifically knives that could kill you? Like if I come at you with a plastic knife, are you still going to freak out?
Not necessarily. But it definitely, like...
What if you don't know it's a plastic knife? What if I just sneak up behind you and stab you with a plastic knife?
Yeah, if it's something like it, the sensation or the idea of getting stabbed is really terrifying for me. Like, the idea of something puncturing me. Yeah, good to know. If great content, great prank video, go up with, like, a real-looking knife up to me, I will lose my mind.
You got to get one of, like, those Halloween prop ones that you can, like, actually stab people with, and it, like, just, like, collapses.
Yeah. If you put that up to me and just, like, you were wearing a mask and try to stab, I will, like, traumatized for years. But yeah, that's big.
I just want you to know, if you ever make me mad, I'm going to come into your apartment and wait in the kitchen with a wooden cutting board, and then the moment you walk out, stab the cutting board with a knife, leave the knife sticking out of it, and just leave.
Well, I can deal with that. Like, it's more you gotta be coming at me in some way. I have to feel endangered by a knife.
And then I'm gonna stab it in, I'm gonna go. And then I'm gonna leave.
Then I might lose my mind. But then, and then, like, a week later, we're doing a podcast, and you act like nothing happened, and I'm just like,
Josh, I just pull out a whetstone, and I'm like, oh, dang it, and I put it back.
But
Nick, for nondescript reasons, I'm gonna start getting really, really good at knife throwing.
No, it's just stabbing, to make you uneasy. Throwing.
Yeah,
just to make you uneasy for the reason why I could be wanting to be good at knife throwing.
Exactly. All right.
I was going to say, moving on into the third topic, I believe, Nick, you're up next.
Yeah. So
go, Nick.
My topic is basically a story.
Not a topic.
It's not a question. It's more of just like what's been happening. This topic more is akin to stuff that we do on Jake and Nick Muck. Go check out that show. Where we might just like talk for like 20 minutes just about a story or a time in our life or whatever. And the reason that I feel like it's necessary is this story is multi-layered. It's important to me. It's important to the reason this whole thing is happening right now. It's important to who I am. And like all great Nick Evans stories, it starts with Scott Lucid. So way back when, going and this is the story of when Nick Evans, I would say, not only became Nick Evans, but realized what the most important things are in life, and also just realized who his real friends are and gained confidence. And that all happened by me. The thing that we're going to title this is I Want a Talent Show, but in all actuality, it was a male beauty pageant that our high school puts on for seniors to go and raise money. Jake, you have done something exactly the same, right?
I have done something exactly the same. You want to know what I did for it?
What did you do for it, Steelman?
Tough. No, just kidding. I did. I performed "Boys Are Back" from High School Musical 3.
Good tune.
My buddy Scott.
So,
I've never seen the movie, but
I almost did "Bop to the Top" with my buddy Cole. And he was going to be Sharpay, and I was going to be Ryan.
Yeah.
But only because he's blonde. But we ended up doing the scene from Mean Girls. Jingle Bell Rock scene with all of them, and like, but instead of like Christmas dresses, we bought these. They were like Christmas Speedos? Boxers. No, they were boxers. They were basically like short shorts that were made out of velvet, and then they came with Santa hats. And then we bought suspenders that went right over our nipples.
That's pretty good.
I'm not gonna lie. I'll be thinking about that later tonight. I'll be thinking.
Please tell me there's a video out there of this.
Yeah. I have it.
Yes.
I'll send it to you later.
I'll trade videos later with you.
Yeah. So getting back to the, like, I know that you guys, or I knew that Jake had done something similar. But the reason that this was important was the story, I would say, starts a year before the entire thing, where the previous year it happened, like it happened every single year leading up. The previous year, it goes and it happens. The seniors do great. There's like one junior participating. I'm a sophomore at the time. And we're like playing basketball over a friend's house. And I literally am just like, I'm going to do Mr. Skipper. And they were just like, what the? No. One, juniors normally don't do it. Two, you're Nick Evans. And most of the school thinks that you're an asshat. Like, they just in general, like, you're not a good person, or there's not a lot of respect behind me. Not a lot of people trusted me. You shouldn't do this. You're gonna make a fool out of yourself. So then I would say the next like point in the story, fast forward to August, My dad had Red Sox tickets for myself and a friend to bring, and I decided to bring Scott. So, Scott, do you want to, like, take the next part of the story, how you got involved in this entire thing?
Yeah, so I think first I actually approached you. It was a fire in my house, and I think you were talking about the idea of Mr. Skipper. And I think at that point I was just like, I think it could be cool if you did a rap, and I'm willing to help you with that. I think because at the time you didn't really have any talents.
Yeah I still don't. Yeah, I still don't.
Yeah, I was about to say, right. What do you mean at the time he didn't have any talent?
Right. Yeah, and honestly, like, rapping was a stretch too, for sure. I mean, we'll get into that, but so I think I approached you, and then at that point, after you said like you were interested, I think I worked some lyrics, and then on the train, I think going into Boston for the game, I think is when we went over like potentially some stuff you could rap, and
yeah,
that's kind of where it all started, our friendship, I would say, is because like at that point we not only worked together a lot on it, but we also started talking more and getting to know each other better, sharing stories.
Yeah. So yeah, I would say. So you showed me what would end up being the finale of this entire rap.
Yeah, right, the final. Yeah, I had that written first, definitely.
And so then we started discussing, how the hell are we going to do this? How the hell are we going to go and make this happen? And most importantly, how are we going to present to the audience Nick Evans in a way that they're not going to immediately shut down? Where our biggest concern was just like, everybody doesn't like me, so how can we put them on our side? And the way that we did that was, and by when I say we, Scott Lucid wrote this entire rap. He wrote the piano for it. It was awesome. He killed it. And this is where our friendship started. Absolutely, I would like, we were like friends, but like after that we became boys and brothers and all that throughout the years. After that moment, he goes, and I would say January is when you about completed the entire rap, like you had all the lyrics done with. And you came to me with this amazing idea of, Nick, for the first 2 minutes of this rap, we're going to roast you. We're going to go and just make fun of you. And that's the way we're going to get the crowd on the side.
It's the Eminem thing.
Yeah, exactly. If you watch 8 Mile, the best way to win is to just go and say all the things that they're already thinking, and then say your point.
Right. It's a little bit different because we had to develop some sort of reason for them to like want to listen to Nick. It wasn't like he was trying to like win a rap battle. It was just like literally they would just like boom off the stage because everyone just didn't like him, unless we had like a valid reason for them to want to listen. And at that point, I felt like the only thing people would really listen to was just self-deprecating humor. I feel like that was the only thing that would really grab people's attention and get him on their side first. So. No, that's what we went with.
So then it's January. And
sounds like a genius lyrics.
It is, right? Then it's January, and we start going and practicing my butt off. January of my junior year, I still have braces. So I'm rapping, and I have a very small mouth. Weird. I don't know if people know that. I have, like, my mouth can't open wide in the slightest. So I'm trying to rap and move my lips quick enough to go and define the words and stuff like that. And I, at the time, also 100,000% less eloquent than I am now. And I still suck at speaking. Thank you, Nick Evans, for doing that. I'm still a bad speaker. I don't know how to say words too well. But back then, I was mumbling. I was slurring a lot of my words. The braces didn't help. And so we were teaching basically a monkey, me being the monkey, how to rap. And I can't rap before that anything. Ever. I would say the closest thing that I could rap is, as Jake learned the other night, Bo Burnham. Back my sophomore year, I learned some Bo Burnham stuff, learned Rant by Bo Burnham, learned Words by Bo Burnham. But going at the tempo that we were, it was very difficult, and it was intense, and there was rhyme stacking on top of each other. There was internal rhyme. It was a full-fledged, really difficult thing to do, especially for myself, that I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So... It's mid to late January, and we are practicing this thing over and over and over again. Your brother, who might still be in the chat, could not stand us by the end of it. We would practice it maybe 30 times.
Hundreds of times.
Hundreds of times. We did it every single day. I would tell my parents, hey, I'm going straight to the Lucid's house, and I would do it time and time and time again. And so during this process, I remember just like not getting it. And all of a sudden, there was this one time, myself and Scott are in this room, and we bring in Brendan Lewis, who made this amazing logo right next to me. We bring him in, and we, for the first time, I get all the words correct. Like, I say all the words in an actual, like, order that makes sense, and I had it memorized. And I look at Scott, I'm like, holy crap, we just did something. Brendan has no idea how excited we were. And he's like, oh, that's cool. Fast forward another month, Brendan Lewis, like, his second time hearing the rap was the first time I did it perfectly up to speed. And we had the same reaction. We're like, Brendan Lewis, you're just a good luck charm. You're just the man. So, surely enough, we go, and I feel like the next place to take this story, I would say, is, one, we showed it to some friends. Like, we showed it to, I would say, like, 8 or 9 people, seeing how good we can make this. But I forget what the exact wording was, but we had a friend. His name's Joe. What did Joe say?
Joe Mama.
Yeah.
Shut up. I was thinking, I was like, should I say it? And then I was like, nah, I won't make another bad joke like that.
All right. What did Joe, okay, like, keeping his last name out of it, what did he say one night when we were rehearsing? Do you remember
Mama.
That?
Mama is his last name.
Yeah, so I mean, to understand that, I think you need a little bit of context, because we had the first phase of it, which was the first, like, 2 minutes of Nick just making fun of himself. But the ultimate goal wasn't just to have people laugh at Nick. It was to have people empathize with him a little bit and ultimately just, like, gain some respect for him so that, you know, he could walk around the hallways of our school without people just, like, avoiding him and, like, looking away, because it was just bad at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, he didn't really deserve any. He was just, like, a cool guy. He messed up freshman year a few times, but, like, no, he didn't deserve to be treated like that. So the goal was to just get, you know, some empathy for his life to just be a little bit more normal. And so phase two of the rap, after we had 2 minutes of self-deprecating humor, people were laughing, getting on his side a little bit, was kind of explaining his, you know, journey at Cohasset, his story, and trying to kind of get people to understand a little bit. And ideally, it was done lyrically well enough to where even if they couldn't empathize with the story, they would at least respect the talent that was behind it. And I think Joe's criticism was that we were kind of trying to just alter the perception of Nick in a way that couldn't really be done. Like, we couldn't really just get a room full of people to go from hating someone to liking someone in, like, 5 minutes with one rap. And I think that was his main criticism.
Yeah.
And
the funny thing was, right, yeah, I'll never forget it. Scott just goes, I think you, like, underestimate high schoolers and their, like, depth of perception of, like, what it takes to change a high schooler's mind. Like, it's not, of course you can. Like, what, because when you think about your high school time, you remember and you're known for probably, like, 7 or 8 moments, especially for, like, one-on-one relationships. It might be, if you look back at anyone in your high school, like, that comes to mind, like, oh, yeah, I remember this time, that time, this time. And so the times before this moment for me, for a lot of people, were, oh, Nick's the guy who sold alcohol on school grounds or attempted to. Oh, Nick's this person that tried to ask out some people early freshman year and made an ass of himself. Stuff like that. And it was just, like, my times up to bat, I missed a couple times, but it wasn't anything personal. No one really got to see, like, my character or my heart or hear my side of the story or any of that. It was just the general perception. So we were just like, let's see if we can swing for the fences in one moment and knock it out of the park. And so then I would say the next thing to touch on is the day of, we had a dress rehearsal. And where all the guys did our talents, and we had our talent last. So we went up last to just try out our talent, and I failed. Like, I bombed. Like, it was not good. And I remember talking to our teacher and our friend, like, she was like, can you do this? Like, and she was, like, nervous about this, and we're like, yeah, we got it, we're fine. I went over to Scott's house, we did it one more time, I nailed it, we felt good, we were good to go. I went back, I showered, stuff like that. But it was really just like, holy crap, is this going to happen? Am I going to fail? Stuff like that.
Yeah, it was bad. And my keyboard also didn't work when we did it, like the sustain pedal. So it was just a really terrible run of it.
Sounds
it was
like
really
it was your fault, Scott.
It was my fault. And so then we go, we get ready, and the show goes on, and there's multiple facets to the show. And up to that, the point of me doing the talent, I did very well in every other competition. I just did, like, good enough. I never came in first in anything, but I definitely was in, like, the top half of the group. There was a, like, question thing. I came in the top 3 for that. Like, stuff. I was checking the boxes. And then we get to talent, and right before my talent, we had the fan favorite of this thing. Like, if there was a betting odds, it would be on this kid. So, like I said, juniors normally don't do this thing. We had myself. We had our good friend of ours who's in the chat. His tag's Boomer in the chat. He's a super nice guy. His name's Nate. And then we had this other junior. His name's Tito. His real name, we're just going to hold out of it. But that was his nickname. That's what everyone knew him by. His name's Tito. And his talent was really bad magic. But it was comical. It was really, really, really comical. And you're like, man, that's a pretty solid talent for something like this. His final trick, this kid is known for like two things. He's a larger set man, like in Goofy, and people know him for that. But two, they know him for his hair. He's got this long, flowing mane. He tried to grow a rat tail his like freshman and sophomore year.
He did grow a rat tail.
Yeah, like everybody knows his name and like knows his hair. His final trick, and this is what we had to compete with. We were after him. And yes, we did like try to make sure that we were after him for this exact reason, because if he went after us, he was going to win no matter what. We were after him, but his final trick was he went and was like, my last trick will be quite hair-raising. I'll be right back. And he leaves the stage, and then he went behind stage with me and the rest of the Mr. Skipper guys and shaved his head. Just buzzed it all, baby. Just buzzed it down to the thickets of his hair. And he goes, he's got a hat on, like his magic hat on. He comes out, pulls his hat off. Like half the crowd standing ovation. And so this is what I have to compete with. And so Scott is in the audience while this is happening. Scott, what was that moment like? Where were you being like, okay, Nick's done really well, but this just happened. Where was your head at?
Dude, I mean, I'm never even thinking that you have a chance at winning. I don't even think that's ever in my mind as a goal. And then he comes out and does that. And like, keep in mind, this show is not like a serious talent show. It's a male beauty pageant. It's about humor and getting people to laugh. And he did it about as well as anyone has ever done it from what I've seen.
Probably
like that type of trick. Like,
it was insane. It was from what we've seen beforehand, it was the best talent and the funniest thing and the most stunning show-stopping thing we've ever seen on this stage to date.
Yeah, it was hilarious. And also one thing you kind of left out is it took way longer than he thought it would to actually shave his head. And so the crowd was literally for like 10 minutes was just like sitting, whispering, like, what's going on? Like, what's he going to do? It was almost like a weird amount of suspense because no one knew. And then like he came out and just everyone, I'm pretty sure it was a full standing ovation. Honestly, it was crazy. Everyone loved it. It was crazy.
Nate's in the chat right now. He goes, it took 10 minutes to shave. Like, it was a long time. And so I want to, before this, also bring in a couple of people that went, and I asked leading into this topic, I knew that we were going to tell the story. Sorry if this podcast goes a little bit long, but I feel like that the end result is really necessary to get to how this whole thing started. My mother just got in from a trip. So my dad, my grandparents, and my sister were all there. My mom just gets in from a trip. She sits down, and then Tito happens. Right then, and she goes and says, "Has Nick's talent gone?" And my dad goes, "No." And then she just is like, "Uh oh, like this is it's game over." My dad was like cracking up. I talked to some other people. I talked to Aaron, our friend Aaron, and he was just like, "Yeah, we thought it was game over." And so we're exactly that. We thought it was game over, and then
So right after that, like, The crowd is actually chanting his name. Like, they're going, Tito, Tito. And I'm in the audience, and I have to go on stage and go backstage. So while the crowd is chanting his name, I need to, like, go on the stage and, like, prepare. And I'm thinking, like, okay, like, we just gotta ice up at this point. Yeah. Like, I guess we have nothing to lose. Like, that was unbelievable.
Yeah.
But to be the person that had to follow it up, and everyone knows you're following it up, wondering how are they gonna possibly follow this up. It was cool.
There was an aura. I remember, like, you asked me, like, are you ready before, like, and we're in like passing because he's plugging the amps in and getting his keyboard ready. I'm trying to get some water down. I threw up a little bit earlier in the night. Like, I'm terrified going into this thing, and so I'm taking some swigs of water, getting ready. And there's a moment that I want to bring up. I was going to, like, post something about this a while ago, but I feel like it's more necessary to tell on this podcast and this show. We go, we get prepared, we finally get set up. Scott's got the amps plugged in. I have the mic in my hand. It's a wired mic. I wish it was wireless. And all of a sudden, the screen behind us comes down because for the comedy portion, we had visuals that went into the comedy of it. So some of the comedy of self-deprecation was telling a story about my appearance. So we described how light I am and skinny I am and discussed that. And then the main chunk of it was doing comparisons, lookalikes. So if you didn't know, I look a lot like Phineas from Phineas and Ferb, if you can like see the nose and everything. I look a lot like Dory, I've been told, from Finding Nemo. I look a lot like McLovin from Superbad. So we went and leaned hard in on that with this screen behind us. But so this screen comes down, it gets dark. I have a mic, Scott's ready to go. And then on video, this is like, there's a video of it, obviously. On video, it pops up a rap by Scott Lucid and Nick Evans. And multiple people in the audience said, "Oh no." And I feel like that's such a like great way to go and say where we were getting into. We were
the bar was so low.
It was so
people did not want
to
look at this.
People didn't want to see me. Like the best way to say it is like they were like, we don't want to see like, what he's about to do for the next.
He's gonna make a fool of himself, and the only reason they watch is just because it's like they want to see him do that, you know?
Yeah, Matt pulled up the link that's in the on the YouTube. TPK. What the hell are you doing, bro? Thomas is in the chat right now. He just said, I think the whole audience said, oh no. Like, it was that level of Nick Evans sucks. And by the way, thank you, Josh, Jake, and Dalton for just listening in on this story. Of course.
I have the link open in a new tab. I'm all set.
Great. And so we go and we start this thing up and I start doing well and we start getting laughs. And we were getting some belly laughs.
Yeah, people were laughing.
Like, it was great. It was awesome. And then, all of a sudden, we closed out the strongest way possible. Obviously, there for the funny portion of, hey, like, with the comparisons, bringing up McLovin, who, obviously, there's more to me and McLovin that makes sense. McLovin got in trouble with alcohol. I got in trouble with alcohol. There's the easy comparison other than just looks. Bringing that up, that was sort of a like, oh my gosh, like they're going to just send this. They're going to talk about everything. We're not holding back at all. And so people are getting a great laugh out of that. And then it cuts. And all of a sudden, Scott plays a couple keys. He then says thank you to the audience. Thankfully, we had a friend tell him to turn his keyboard down a little bit and let the vocals be a little bit louder. That was really helpful. And it's very apparent in the audio for when this was shot. And so then we get into what we called, very blatantly, phase two of this entire rap. Yeah. And for the first, the entire rap itself is around 6-ish minutes. For the first 3 minutes of this rap, we go bit by bit through high school of what happened to Nick Evans. And go freshman year, sophomore year, and in sophomore year, through freshman and sophomore year, we made sure to put in certain lines to keep the laughs going, including one of the greatest lines being... So a joke about not being able to get an A in one of our hardest teachers' class that a lot of people were not the biggest fan of this teacher. People were cracking up. The video that Scott's father took has him belly laughing after I say that line. Like, he is, like, shaking, laughing. Yeah. It's awesome. And then we go into junior year and really start to get into this finale portion. And at this time, I'm hitting everything. After going and not hitting everything earlier in the day, it was really satisfying. And so then... there was the finale of this entire thing, and it was there to go and set up the stage. There's a stage, and then there's the audience forward. There's a little jut out into the audience that like allows you to split the stage a little bit. So I go then, as we're about to get into this final part of this rap, start walking out onto this little jut out, a place that no one had been there for their talent, because there's no reason to be there for your talent. It was basically me physically saying, like, listen the hell up. We're about to do something. And I get out there, and I rapped as fast as I possibly could. The way it was meant to be rapped, I would say. Like, to the speed that we were, like, the fastest you can do this, I was hitting it. And then I nail it for 1 minute straight, where people start clapping and cheering for the first, like, 15 seconds, being like, oh, this is going to be the finale. This, like, one slide is going to be the finale. And then, surely enough, there was five more slides after that.
Yeah. Not even just clapping and cheering. Legitimate, like, yelling, like, as loud as they could. People were going wild. And it was honestly, like, you kind of had to kill at that point, because it was pretty risky going from, like, a comedy section in a comedy show where people were laughing to, like, this really serious, heartfelt thing. And I feel like the only thing that allowed that transition was if you rapped it well.
Yeah.
And you did such a good job. And I honestly, to this day, I believe that there's a point in the video where if you watch it, there's like a point where you go from being the kid that just like everyone hated, and like you believing in yourself that you can actually do this. And it was like right at the finale. And I think that we initially went into it trying to change what everyone's perception of you was. We were trying to change like who Nick Evans at the school was and just trying to make people like you. But I think what actually happened was you learned to just like yourself enough for everyone to just kind of respect you. And I feel like that's kind of what I've taken away from this most.
Yeah.
Like you to this day are kind of just like, I'm going to like myself. And that's what draws people to Nevins Island and to you in general. And I feel like that's what happened in the rap. It wasn't that people were just like, oh, he can rap. It was like, he's standing up here and he's delivering this with confidence. And, yeah, you know, it turned totally changed yeah. everything.
Trying to just close this out at this point, because not kidding, when the rap was over, people were screaming and jumping out of their seats. That's from Thomas.
Yeah,
in the chat.
Just straight up yelling.
There is a moment.
Sorry if you guys are hearing that.
There's,
my bad. The freaking gluten's going
crazy. You're good. But there's a legitimate moment where in the rap where people like are screaming super loud and then they shut up for the rest of it, and it is awesome because you're just like. Yeah. They were like, this is so impressive. And then they're like, wait, there's more? And then everyone just was stunned. And I remember the word we used so much was we were trying to floor the audience. We were trying to give them something that they've never, ever seen before. And we did. So then surely enough, it comes out and I win the whole thing. Last things that I want to touch on with this story, though, are my grandfather was there. My grandfather has since passed. My grandfather cried during the rap, and to this day it is one of the things that I look upon the fondest that I will ever do on this planet, going and giving my grandfather that experience before he died. Number two, my parents were obviously there. It was one of their most proudest moments. A thing that I want to touch on too is like Scott and I's friendship through this. Like you nailed it, where I definitely gained a sense of self-respect for myself, but our level of friendship hit a whole new height and just allowed me to be comfortable. Just being like, I know I have Scott behind me, and yeah, like to the end, we're good to go. Matt, your brother, we have Thomas and Nate in the chat that are also like really awesome people that have been there for me in a great way. Like it's unreal to have though that sense of like fulfillment. And I'll never forget, we after the show we go over to your place, and I remember your parents went and talked to you, and I heard a little bit of the conversation, and they were just like, we've never been more proud of you because you gave me this unreal chance that I would not have been able to do without your help. So I'm very, very thankful for that. And you, like you also, I hopefully had a sense of like pride behind that, because that was unreal. And then the final thing that I want to wrap this thing up
with awesome.
Is you nailed it. Without that moment, I didn't have this sense of hype and love and enjoyment, and I didn't know I could do it. And now I had the sense of believing in myself, because rapping is something I couldn't do and now I could do. And I really still can't, but like, if I work hard enough at anything, I can do it. And so then I just started believing in myself way more than I basically had the right to. Also understanding that hard work goes and delivers results. And I remember having a phone conversation, just this is the very last thing with this topic, with you about 2 weeks ago, and with your brother also a couple weeks ago, where I was like, it has been a long time since I've had that feeling and of just success. But with all great stories, like I say, it starts with Scott Lucid. For the first time of fully believing in myself and actually accomplishing something to the level of success that was, I hadn't had that feeling. And I thought I wasn't going to ever have that feeling again until Nevins Island Day 2021, where we went and nailed it. And the three guys above me were a huge, huge part of that. And we did
it. Yeah, that was fun.
We did it. Like, it was unreal. So I'm very, very thankful to have that experience, and forevermore I'm going to be able to look at that moment as, I would say, it's the moment Nevins Island started. It's the moment that Nick Evans gained the confidence to have this exuberant amount of faith that I can really, really do whatever I put my mind out to. And that's why we have a podcast where I just talk about whatever the hell I want. So sorry about that, guys, for the top three, and I hope that the story was interesting. Jake, what you got?
Not to double back, but I'm now changing my biggest fear, because you unlocked a hidden memory that I forgot. So we did a similar thing. It was called Mr. FHS, blah blah blah, male beauty pageant.
There's like a Puck.
Yeah, exactly, totally. There was like a opening dance where we all danced to Womanizer. It was choreographed by somebody. That was kind of the vibe. So there's two shows. The first show is always the worst one because you're still working out the kinks. The person we go on, like me and all my three friends, we go on after, his name is Brock Scheimer. He's singing Gary Come Home from SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Everyone in the crowd, like, takes out their phone, puts on their flashlight, and starts doing this. Pitch black audience. Every single person in the crowd. And I'm like, you're fucking kidding me. Like, I don't even know. Because our whole thing was, we were doing the whole thing. Like, we were going to kick out through the jukebox. It was going to stop playing. And we were going to have everyone sing, hopefully.
Yeah.
So we're like, fuck, are people going to sing? Is the timing going to get right? We go out there. The setup in our dress rehearsal, we have the jukebox at the very front of the stage. And the person who was in the booth knew the timing to stop it when we hit the jukebox. We walk out there. There's no jukebox on the stage. I'm like, oh, Izzy, our stage director. She's going to bring it out. We're lined up. There's no jukebox on the stage. And I'm like, fuck. How is the person in the booth going to know? And then I remember Malcolm was in the booth yesterday. Malcolm's not in the booth today. Whoever's in the booth does not know the timing. So we're fucked. Like, there's 500. We were packed out both shows. That's the most there's ever been at both of these shows. And halfway through the song, I just see Izzy kind of fucking kick the boombox out, like, behind us. And I'm like, okay, I see it. And the whole thing was going to be, like, me and my buddy Cormac bump into each other, and he kind of falls. He kind of falls, and then that's when the music cuts, or the music kind of, like, starts skipping at about the time when it should. And then when he kicks it, you're supposed to cut the music. Because we had it skipping for, like, X amount of time. So I'm like, okay, how are we going to do this? So I see the jukebox. There's like 2 or 3 seconds or like 5 seconds before it starts skipping. We do the last dance move. And then I turn and I just full shove Cormac straight at the jukebox. He legitimately is like falling backwards. Like right as I hit him, it starts skipping. Slams into the jukebox right as the sound like auto cuts, like the track ended. And it just auto. And so it's dead silent. And if you hadn't seen dress rehearsal or you didn't know what it was supposed to look like or you didn't go to the second show, you'd be none the wiser. Everything looked perfectly. But oh my God, that was the scariest moment of my entire, like, probably, like, legitimately, probably third or fourth scariest thing that's ever happened to me. And then he gets up and then we kind of, like, stand there for a second and we're like, what a bright time. And then everyone joined in and we're like, oh my God, thank God people did this for us.
Yeah.
But that was a closeted memory that I forgot about. And I was like, oh my God, that was horrifying.
All right.
Every possible thing that could have gone wrong went wrong, and it worked out.
Just going and I will just a little behind the scenes. Dalton and Scott, how much? We said an hour 15. We've gone a bit. We will be going a bit past hour 15. Are you guys okay with that?
How long?
An extra 20 minutes. Is that right?
Okay. Well, can I send out a text then?
Yeah. Absolutely. You're good. Next topic, Scott Lucid. What are you thinking?
Yeah. So I also, before I go, I just want to add, there's a video on YouTube. I don't know if people know that for the rap. If you want to see it after hearing the story,
I have it pulled up. I'm going to watch it after the show.
I'll watch it with
awesome.
You.
Yeah, you can just search Nick Evans, Mr. Skipper Rap 2018. It's on my YouTube. So, yeah.
What was that? Sorry, you dipped out of the desktop audio. Scott.
There you go. Can you hear me?
Yep.
All right. My topic for today. If you could switch lives with someone for one day, who would it be? And just to lay down some groundwork, you get all of like their physical appearance, everything physical, but your mind is still the same. So like any talents that they might have, you wouldn't necessarily have unless it's like a physical talent.
That changes my answer.
I figured it's important to know that. And then just an interesting follow-up, if you feel like it, would your answer change if you had to switch for your whole life with that person? So, you know, you can address that if you want or not.
Let's kick it off with somebody in the top row, because we went and Scott and I have been talking for the past 25 minutes.
Are you sure?
Wait, before I answer this, can I use the bathroom real quick?
Yeah, you're good to go.
I actually have a good answer.
Okay, Josh, same one then. You want to hit us off?
You can't put me on the spot like that.
I also need to pee.
Yeah, dude, it's coming out right now, I swear. No. I don't know. That's kind of like, it's a tough question. But if it was for a day, it would probably be somebody tall or somebody rich. Probably somebody rich, so I could just transfer a bunch of money to my account and then switch back and then be fine. I probably wouldn't switch for the rest of my life, because I do kind of like the situation I'm in right now. I have some pretty good friends, if you haven't noticed. But yeah, somebody tall, somebody rich, just like a little hack real quick to get myself some money.
Yeah. So for me, my answer, like I was thinking about this, and I was thinking like a stupid answer could be like one of my favorite artists or somebody, but then I was like, what if you do someone you know? What if you go with someone you know? And so my answer would have been your brother, good friend of the Casual Gaming Conversation, Matt Lucid, because I'm like, that dude's so smart. I want to see what he's thinking. I want to get the experience of that. But if that's not the case, then I would choose somebody. All right, cool. We were double audioing for a second there. It's fine. I would choose somebody that does something that I could get away with, them not being like, oh, who is this person? I want to live their life for a day without like anyone questioning it. So I would probably choose one of my favorite podcasters. I'm going to go with Greg Miller from Kinda Funny. I just want to see what it's like to run something like this successfully. So then I could come back here and be like, hey, this is what I could have in the future. Matt Lucid, by the way, said, I do not consent to a body swap with Nick. But yeah,
I wouldn't either.
Dude, there's also a topic that I'm not going to bring up now, but there is the whole thing of if you were in a female's body for the day, what's the first thing you're doing? Or
jump.
Jump.
Have you not seen that? It's like if males switched place with a female or switched bodies with a female for a day, it was like the first thing they do. And then it was like girls.
John, there was way too much. There was way too much going on there, buddy.
I got you. And then it was like
you don't need to switch bodies.
Yeah.
And then it was like girls, if they switch bodies with a male for the day, the first thing they do, and it was the exact same thing.
Yeah. I remember talking to one of my female friends, and they were just like, depending on the size of the wang, they're like, first and foremost, it's gonna be all things that deal with the buddy down south. But they're like, I'm going for helicopters. I'm going for shakes back and forth. I'm trying to hit some records with these things. I want to see how flexible it is. I'm like, yeah, I feel like the same would go for the other way of just like,
if you want to know, I can.
No, not that type of friend. But yeah, so I'm going to stick with just going with them. Like the person that I really would want to switch with would be somebody that I could like relate to and somebody that could do what I want to do, but way better than I ever could. And I also think it would be cool to hang out with some of the people that person gets to hang out with and also just have an adorable dog for a day. So that's my answer. Jake Frazinelli, who are you going with?
For a day?
Me.
I was thinking about going with the same cop-out answer Josh gave, where it was like, I'd like to be a rich person and give myself the money.
Gotcha.
But I don't know. John,
is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said I just switched with somebody rich and then like Venmo myself a ton of money or something.
Okay, well, okay. Mine's along that same line, but it's a little bit dope,
right? you can hop in.
I got all of them.
Dolan, you want to hop in then?
Go for it.
I mean, honestly, like, I mean, it's kind of dark. Don't judge me. But I switch bodies with Jeff Bezos or whoever happens to be the richest person in the world, Elon Musk, whatever.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Rewrite their will, make them write a will to me, and then kill myself. So I get all their money.
Whoa! Dude, Dolan's going like eighth dimension.
That's not what I thought that would happen. Yeah.
I didn't even think of that as an option. Like, props to you.
Dude, Dolan just went 10th layer. I go
my greatest enemy and ruin my life.
Dolan went just like 10th layer of just like, I'm about to do something. He did it.
See, the thing is, now the question you got to ask.
It does kind of make sense.
Yeah.
Robin?
I was going to say, the question you got to ask yourself now is this like, if you die in the game, you die in real life? So it's like,
yeah,
as Elon Musk, are you going to come back as Dalton, or are you just dead?
Or are you going to come back as dead Dalton? Like, you're going to like come back, but your conscience is dead, so you die anyways. This is like the whole genie thing of like, when you ask a genie question.
You just got to set it up so the moment you switch back, they move and they die.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I kill myself in like the 59th second of the last hour.
No, like, you go skydiving with like a second left, and so you're gonna plummet without a parachute.
He shoots a bullet straight up.
No. I could just poison myself, and then it'll probably lead past 24 hours and then he'll die like when I'm back in my body.
Yeah.
Big brain.
This is just Dalton planning a murder, guys.
Jeez.
But it's himself.
Dalton, we're friends, right? We're friends. Like, we're buddies. You're not gonna right? Yeah, right? I'm sorry I don't know rap as well as
not rich enough.
Yeah, see, it's actually really funny because I had a very similar answer. I never
make any money.
But it's no monetary gain. I just want to kill Nick. That's no, but I'd probably say, yeah, like for a day, probably, yeah, just like try to be rich or whatever. Yeah. For the rest of my life, I don't know. I feel like it'd be super sick to just be like Eliud Kipchoge, who's the best marathon runner in the world. Because you said like physical attributes should carry over. Yeah. So I think it'd be super insane to just be that like physically fit.
Dude, but just also any Olympic athlete.
Yeah, but also I don't know if I could in good conscience do that because Eliud Kipchoge is a treasure. If you look him up anywhere, like look up an interview, look up his Instagram, he is a human puppy and I fucking love him. And he's I would say in my like top five favorite, like non-family members, non-friends, like top five favorite people on the planet, just because of the kind of guy he is. So I don't know if I could survive knowing that I've deprived the world of that person. And just for my own personal, like, I want to be fast.
Would they just switch into your body? How would that work?
That's Scott's question.
I don't know. It's up to discussion.
I'll make the rules there.
What kind of half-baked question is this?
That person just goes to
the rawer than the sushi I ate with Jake 2 weeks ago.
That goes. I'm gonna clarify the rule because if there's not gonna be a rule, I'll just make one. The person goes and they switch into your body, but like it's like a Freaky Friday situation where they, for some reason, your body just decides that day to like go into a coma basically for the day. So they're just in the void basically. They're in your body.
Yeah, my body would reject it.
That's fair.
Switch bodies with Lil Dicky. That's my final answer. I'd switch bodies with Lil Dicky and then I would rewrite Freaky Friday, except it's about me and I don't say the N-word.
Scotty, what's your answer?
I think I would definitely want to have someone that's like powerful and influential. Just to kind of like see what I could do, like with the day. I mean, yeah, he does have some influence. Yeah, I don't know, maybe like a famous musician, like Chris Martin from Coldplay. I think would be cool. I think he has a lot of power and influence, in the music industry. Something like that would be cool. I definitely wouldn't want to do it for my whole life with anyone. I feel like I know what I got. It's pretty good, and kind of risking that for someone else's life, not knowing what they're dealing with, would be pretty risky.
Better answer.
So question. Is this limited to people that are still alive currently? Yes. Or can I switch with someone in the past? That's kind of lame.
Okay, then what would your answer be, Josh?
Scott, is this limited just to people that are alive today?
You would get the state of their physical body that it's currently in.
That's stupid. This is a dumb question.
Better
time traveling question, Josh.
Better answer than going and being Scott or Jake being Josh. I would want to be one of their significant others just to be able to make out with either of those guys and get away with it. That's what I'm
jokes
going for.
On you. I'm single.
Jokes on you. Abby's body would reject you in an instant. You wouldn't survive.
Too powerful. She's got like an infinity stone in her.
All right. Dragon energy.
Become Josh, then you'll be the parasite that he's so afraid of.
No, please.
All right. Let's hop into this last topic for the night. Dalton Price, what's your topic? Closing it out.
Okay. Well, originally I was gonna do like favorite album of any genre that you can only listen to once for the rest of your life. I was gonna do any genre, but honestly, I'm just gonna do rap because like it'll actually give me like I feel like
I'm gonna make it any genre because if it's just rap, then I'm screwed. Because I could not listen to a rap album for the rest of my life if I only had one.
I mean, okay, I guess, but I mean, I haven't really.
You can do rap. You can make it rap.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm gonna do a rap.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. So, so who wants to go first? I guess
I'll do it first because I thought about this for a while.
I'm confused on the question. So what genre we would want?
It's any album.
You can only listen to one album for the rest of your life.
One album for the rest of my life. Ooh.
Yep.
Any genre.
Go ahead, Jake, kick us off.
Man on the Moon 1, Kid Cudi, 100%. I love Kid Cudi, and I think that is a very good encapsulation of everything I like about him. And although I wouldn't say he's probably my favorite artist, I would say he's the artist that I've most consistently listened to for the longest time. And I still haven't gotten tired of any of those songs. So I could probably, if somebody was like, Jake, you have to listen to this album nonstop for a week, I could probably do that pretty easily.
Okay.
Like, I love that album, and I would be perfectly okay only listening to that for the rest of my life.
All right. Dalton Price, where is your head at with this question?
Okay, well, I mean, originally, you know, I, like, you know, you think you want to go with, like, a dense album, you know, have a lot to digest, a Good Kid, M.A.A.D City, a K.O.D., a Born Center, something like that, you know what I mean? But, honestly, like, I'd probably pick Institution by Kodak, bro, like, for real, like, it's just, like, a long track list, so
over an hour
runtime, so you have, like, a good bit of music. There's a variety of different songs, love songs, hype songs, sad songs, like, lyrical for Kodak, you know? So, I mean, I feel like it'll just give me, like, the most abundance, and, like, I wouldn't want to have to listen to something, so, like, I'm not saying that lyrical conscious rap is drab, but, like, you know, like, I wouldn't want to, like, for all of eternity, like, for the rest of my life, I only get one album. I want something that's a little fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I'm looking up times of the albums that I was thinking of, because that's, I feel like, a thing you got to think of how much is there, because some of my favorite albums of all time are 40 minutes long, and so I feel like that automatically takes it out of contention. I want something that has a little bit of a longer track list, a little bit more dense. And so then for me, I look at the albums that I have personally as 10 out of 10s, and then my favorite album of all time. So if you know me, I have 4 rap albums that are 10 out of 10. So that's Good Kid, M.A.A.D City and Pimp a Butterfly by Kendrick. Good Kid, M.A.A.D City by Kanye. Igor by Tyler, the Creator.
He means My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Yeah. What did I say?
Good Kid, M.A.A.D City again.
Oh, sorry. My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy by Kanye. Igor by Tyler, the Creator. Yeah, right. Twin Fantasy by Car Seat Headrest, An Airplane Over the Sea by Neutral Milk Hotel, and In Rainbows by Radiohead. Those are my 7 10s. I've said that on a couple of other podcasts already. With that, I don't know if any of them I could honestly go with the entire time. The only one that comes to mind is I love Good Kid, M.A.A.D City because it is that movie of a thing, and it's got a decently long track list. It's about an hour long with the extended version, which that's what I would obviously go with. It's over an hour. It feels good. But my favorite album is Funeral by Arcade Fire. I don't think it's perfect, but I love it more than anything. The biggest issue, it's only like 45 minutes. So I'm going to go. I couldn't do rap, mainly just because I feel like rap for me can get old after a while with just bass and such. I need some guitars in there. You know what I'm saying? I need some snare drum hits. I need some cymbals that are like really hitting harder than some of the stuff in the synths and some of the trap beats and some of the rap albums that I mentioned before. So I'm going to go, and against my will, looking at my options that I basically just set out for myself because I wanted to be something that I love dearly, I'm going to go with Twin Fantasy by Car Seat Headrest. It's about an hour and 6 minutes long. It has 2 songs that are over 10 minutes, and I love both of those songs. I can listen to both of those songs because there's so much there. Days on End. And Scott Lucid knows this. For about 4 months straight, I only listened to Bodies by Car Seat Headrest off that album. He's looking at a roommate. So, yeah. But, yeah.
You did. Yeah, definitely.
So, I love that album more than anything. I think it's perfect. And that's going to be my answer. Josh, what's your answer?
Okay. So, first off, before I give you my answer, I just want Dalton and Scott weren't there for that. But I finally figured out my perfect concert. So,
perfect
just real quick, it's gonna be Big Bad Bosses opening for Lonely Island and then closed by Weird Al Yankovic. So, yep,
good stuff. By the way, Matt Lucid in the chat, rumor has it Bodies by Car Seat Headrest is still looping in Nick's Jeep. That's true, like it was that synonymous with jet. Like, I would show up to frisbee practice, like, I would leave my house, play it, and then I would drive past like Frisbee halfway through the song on the second time and then pull in just so I can like come in, listen to it twice in one like session. I love that song that much. But that's a banger of a concert. And that's a real Josh Stealing concert. I'm okay with that answer. But Josh, what's your answer for?
So taking a completely different track from my perfect concert, I would say the album, I'm going to do Breaking the Model by New Medicine. I just feel like that's the only band that I could listen to on repeat forever.
New Medicine's like metal, right? They're like
it's
heavy.
Rock.
Yeah,
it's more like I guess like heavy rock.
Yeah, they're not
it's not
metal.
Quite metal.
Yeah, they're not screamo. Yeah. Like what you're right. Heavy rock. I've listened to them with you before. I like their stuff. Like that's
I do too. Yeah, I think they're So that's my answer.
All right, and then closing it out, Scott Lucid. What we got?
Yeah, I don't think there's really a good answer for me for this one because I feel like inevitably whatever I pick, I'm gonna get sick of pretty quickly. So. I honestly, initially, I was going to say Stranger by Billy Joel, because I feel like musically it's really strong and has really good lyrics. And so I could dive into it for a while, but it's not that long, not that many songs. And I'm thinking maybe I might go for like a soundtrack to a movie or like an instrumental, because I feel like that might give me some more longevity and I can kind of dissect the progressions in music without getting sick of lyrics. So maybe like an Interstellar soundtrack. Some Hans Zimmer.
Yeah.
I think that that would do me well.
Yeah.
Long term.
All right. Any final comments before we head into this outro of just the podcast into the whole? Anyone?
Not really. No.
Really good to have you guys on.
Yeah.
Really good to have you on, Jake.
Great to be on.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, that has been your Nevins Island podcast. If you like that, go over to youtube.com/Nevins Island. Go and give us a sub over there. Follow the Twitch page if you're watching live. If you're watching live, Jake Frasinelli and myself, for probably from like 9 p.m. until 2 a.m. whenever, we're going to be streaming The Last of Us Part 1. And on Saturday, we're going to be streaming some more. Josh and Jake, what the hell happened? What are you guys
Don't worry about it.
We're going to watch back the video. So, Jake,
please do.
Jake, just put yourself on mute, guys. And then, so, if you like that, go over. It will be posted topic by topic throughout the week with mine and Josh's and Jake's topic. And whenever we do a podcast, it's topic by topic throughout the week. Then Friday as a full VOD on YouTube and as an audio on Spotify. We do a bunch of other shows, including entertainment shows and gaming shows. Go and check that out. I stream 3 days a week. Check that out. But yes, tonight, if you are watching live, we will be back in about 20-ish minutes doing some streaming. Jake's first ever playthrough of The Last of Us Part 1. Super, super excited about that. Go check that out. And yeah, adios. We salute you.